Hi everybody, welcome once again to our morning devos. Today is Holy Wednesday. I hope that in addition to listening to this devo that you'll join us for our Holy Wednesday service later tonight. But for today, or for this morning I should say, we're going to read from Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 21. This is Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 21. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." All right, so if you were listening with us yesterday, you might recognize that this is a direct continuation of yesterday's passage. And so the Passover is now here, and as good Jewish men, Jesus' disciples asked Jesus where they should spend the Passover. Just as a quick background, the Passover is a commemoration of Israel's exodus from Egypt. You might remember how the people of Israel were once slaves in Egypt and were ultimately saved by God through the prophet Moses. One of the defining moments leading up to the eventual exodus of Israel was the presence of God passing through the land of Egypt, striking down all the firstborn in the land except for those who had marked their doorposts with blood. On those houses, God passed over them and did not strike them down. That's where the name Passover comes from. God instructs the Israelites to remember this day and keep it as a feast, marked by the eating of unleavened bread. Hence, the first day of unleavened bread, as we see in the passage, and also why the disciples are asking Jesus where they will eat the Passover. All right, so with that as a background, Jesus responds to the disciples' question about the Passover with some very specific instructions. He tells them to go into the city, meaning Jerusalem, and there they'll meet a man carrying a jar of water. That man will then lead them to a house. Ask the master of the house about a room to eat the Passover, and he will show you a large, furnished upper room where they can prepare for the Passover. Very specific, and I wish Jesus would speak these instructions to me when finding housing for myself. But anyway, the passage doesn't say anything about how the disciples felt upon receiving these instructions. And I imagine that they were at least a little bit confused, but regardless, they do as Jesus says, and as it says in verse 16, found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Very fascinating story here. That evening comes, and it's time to share the Passover meal, and while at the table, Jesus drops a bomb on everybody. He says, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Whoa, what? Where is this coming from? Jesus, we're eating the Passover meal together, a memorial day, a feast day. What are you saying? Now, these are likely the thoughts that his disciples had. The mood likely becomes very heavy. And it says actually that there's a conveying of being sorrowful. And naturally, one by one, they ask, "Well, is it I? Will I be the one to betray you?" Jesus responds, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me." Jesus doesn't go as far as naming the disciple here, and therefore the other disciples don't know exactly who Jesus is referring to. But we, as the readers, know from yesterday's passage that it is Judas, one of the 12, who will betray Jesus. Now, a natural question that some of you may have is, why? Why did Jesus do this? Other questions that I've heard and I've asked myself is, was he destined to betray Jesus? Was it even his fault? We could look to passages like Luke 22, verse 3, when it says, "Then Satan entered into Judas," or John 13, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, and so on. We could think, well, it's not Judas's fault. As the saying goes, the devil made him do it. And there are a lot of questions related to this that you could ask. And to be honest, I don't think I'll be able to answer all of them, at least not sufficiently in the short time that we have. But let me just say this. Yes, Satan played a part in Judas's actions, but Judas was also responsible for his actions. You see, it's very likely that Judas's prior actions had essentially opened the door for Satan to enter into and direct his heart. If you read in John chapter 12, you can see that Judas, as the one in charge of the group's money bag, would help himself to what was put into it. In other words, he would steal from the group and likely lie about it regarding the money. This sin, and maybe others that we just don't know about, continued without confession and repentance, thereby keeping the door open for Satan to enter into and gain a foothold on his heart, which then ultimately led him to betray Jesus. You see, it's easy to read this and villainize Judas. He was one of the 12, meaning he had spent years literally following Jesus closely. He sat under the teaching of Jesus, walked with him, and lived with him and the other members of the 12. And so we could ask, well, how could he do this? And we villainize him. But the thing is, believe it or not, all of us are just as susceptible to this as Judas was. It's possible that many of you listening have been following Jesus for some time. Maybe you've been in the church for some while and joined with others regularly in worship, which obviously are very good things. But if we were to examine our hearts, we would all recognize at least part of ourselves that are not aligned with the will of God. We can be selfish and self-seeking, or hold grudges against other people, have sinful and broken thoughts and attitudes. In a way, we can be so immersed in the things of Christ and yet have hearts that are so far away from Him. And when these things, when we do not confess and repent and turn away from these things, well, then we too keep the door open for Satan to take a foothold on our hearts. Now, that sounds very sobering, but I say this not to condemn, or as if to say that Jesus' words in verse 21 apply to you just as much as it did to Judas. Yes, that is the judgment that comes upon those who choose to live against and apart from the will of God. But there is another outcome that comes by the way of Jesus. Jesus came into the world to make a way for us to have life. We were all destined to destruction, but Jesus came and died to conquer sin and death, so that everyone who chooses to put their faith in Jesus will no longer be bound by sin and taste the death that sin has wrought upon humankind, but instead so that we could have life. If you're listening to this devotion and you haven't yet put your faith in Jesus, first of all, it is so great that you are choosing to spend this time listening to this, being in the Word, more importantly. But if this is you, I invite you to continue to pursue the way of Jesus. And I hope and I pray that you will come to experience His love and put your faith in Him and to trust in Him. Others of you listening to this Devo who have already put your faith in Jesus, I encourage you to continuously turn to Him. Again, even as you are surrounded by the things and the ways of Jesus, if we're not vigilant, we can end up choosing to turn from Him rather than towards Him. We can allow the enemy to have an increasing gain on our hearts, gain more and more territory on our hearts and our minds and the ways in which we live. And so to combat that, let's continue to turn to Jesus. Jesus came so that we would have life and not remain in sin. It's important that we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, examine our hearts regularly and repent when necessary so that we may continue to abide in Jesus. Again, Jesus came so that we may have life. Let's continue to look upon Him and receive the life that He has for us. Let me pray to close our time today. Lord God, we thank You for this word, and God, it's it's a very sobering and heavy passage in some ways when we look at what happened to one of the 12, to Judas. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be humble in the sense that we are not so far from Judas. We are also susceptible to living a life of hidden sin and living a life influenced and led by the enemy rather than by you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to look to you, continue to turn to you, Father, and help us to walk in the life that we have received in you. Lord, forgive us for the ways in which we sin, but thank you for your grace that brings us back to you, Lord. So God, we as we continue on in this week and even just in this day, Lord, help us to look to you, to remember you, and to hold on to the life that we received in you, Lord. So thank you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.